Senator Coons, we appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Thanks for being with us.
It's always good to be on with you, Tom.
So the $1,400 direct payments, unemployment benefits, minimum wage got a lot of the attention as this bill was debated. But obviously, there's a lot more to this bill, and I want to delve into some of that and what it means for Delawareans. Starting with the money for vaccines and vaccine distribution, how quickly can that money get out and address issues of supply and equitable distribution that we've seen early in the vaccine rollout here in Delaware?
Well, Tom, the good news is that vaccines are getting out now more and more quickly. I've heard from Delawareans complaints and concerns about how can they get access, how can they get vaccinated. And as the volume of vaccines being manufactured and distributed has already improved, the number of Delawareans getting vaccinated has increased. We're up to 2 million Americans being vaccinated every day. And we're getting to an impressive percentage of Delawareans who've had their first shot. But we've got a long way to go. I think we will see in the next month to 6 weeks a robust, even abundant supply of vaccines. But as you indicated, at that point, the question will be overcoming vaccine hesitancy, doing outreach, active outreach, which is going to require people making the effort, doing engagement with folks in the grassroots level and communities that for whatever reason are not excited about and volunteering to take this vaccine. That's going to be the hard work of late spring and early summer, making sure that we can get not just 30 or 40% of Delawareans vaccinated, but 70 or 80% so that we can reach that point where the pandemic genuinely begins to end.
So you feel like the hesitancy is a big part of what's fueling the issues with equity and distribution?
Yes. I've had conversations with healthcare leaders, with civic leaders, with religious leaders, and there are a variety of reasons. Some folks feel this vaccine was approved too quickly, or they're suspicious of the Trump administration or the conditions under which it was developed. Others, particularly Black Americans and Delawareans, have historic and understandable concerns about the history of vaccines. Others, for some reason, think that vaccines can be dangerous or harmful. None of that is true. These vaccines have been thoroughly and appropriately tested. I've been vaccinated. Many other leaders in our community have been vaccinated. It is safe, and it is the only reasonable way that we can get out of this pandemic.
There's also a significant chunk of money to reopen schools. That addresses, obviously, reopening them safely, but also the learning loss that many kids have faced with schools closed. How important is it to get at that second part, the learning loss, and the disproportionate impact that that has had on some communities?
That's a big part of this bill, and that's a big priority for President Biden. As we all know, Dr. Biden, his wife, is an educator. He's been really focused on this as a priority, helping get schools reopened, making sure we address the homework gap, the broadband and access to remote learning. There's still going to be remote learning going on for some time. And frankly, this is an opportunity for us to invest in connectivity in ways that will make it easier for children in families that don't have broadband or don't have computers to participate in learning going forward. There's also going to be some investment in national service in the AmeriCorps program that will particularly target this challenge about learning loss and distance learning. And there's $160 billion that's going to go to schools and to institutions nationwide that help with schools and school programming.
The package also includes more money for small businesses and nonprofits, and in particular the hard-hit restaurant industry. Is the hope here that specifically for restaurants that this isn't a case of the cavalry arriving too late?
Well, it is a challenge. We've lost tens of thousands of businesses that will not reopen. So the PPP program, which I helped co-author and support on the Small Business Committee, has kept lots of businesses afloat. But frankly, most of the restaurant owners I've talked to have run through their first PPP loan, which has become a grant in many cases. They've applied for it and are hoping to get their second. But hospitality got hammered in particular. That is one segment that has really had a challenge in the economic downturn because of the closures. So I'm hopeful that the $25 billion that's in this, that is specifically targeted to restaurants, will help ensure that those that can recover do, that those who can survive will, but also provide support for folks more broadly in the industry, so that if you used to work for a restaurant that isn't going to reopen, there will be others where you could get employed as the economy reopens.
It is a very big bill. Are there some other provisions in it that you see that are particularly noteworthy for Delawareans and how this state will get out of the pandemic?
Well, two things. One, there was a program under Obama, the SSBCI, that provided grants to businesses in states to help with economic expansion. That's being renewed. There's $10 billion for small state-led business lending and investment programs. I'm excited about that. There's also a child tax credit that's going to be robust and is going to help lift children out of poverty. Those two haven't gotten much attention because they're a little more technical. Last, something that I've been excited about, there's $1 billion to expand national service, the AmeriCorps program. Altogether, Tom, I think this is a robust, bold bill that will make a dramatic difference, get us out of the pandemic and jumpstart our economy to a point where 6 months from now, I think the American economy will be roaring forward.
You mentioned that child tax credit, and my understanding is that that is a temporary change to that tax credit. Are you hopeful that that will be something that will stick long term?
Well, I'm optimistic that once we see the impact on American families, it'll gain longer term support.
Is there lingering disappointment on your behalf of this package getting no support from Republicans?
Yes. I walked around the floor of the Senate during the very, very long night and morning that we were here voting on it and talked to a dozen Republican colleagues about other priorities that we might work on going forward. Things like immigration, continuing to expand national service, gun background checks, clean water. I have a whole series of bipartisan bills I'm looking to introduce now, because, frankly, this was a bill that we could do with 50 votes. Those other topics are things that we need bipartisanship to address, and I'm hopeful that in the coming months you'll see legislation moving forward that's genuinely bipartisan.
Is minimum wage also on that list? You were among those who did not vote to include minimum wage increase in this bill, but you said you are committed to raising it. Is it realistic that there's going to be enough support found from the GOP to do a standalone minimum wage bill?
Well, we have to increase the federal minimum wage. $7.25 is far too low. It's been allowed to decrease over a decade in its buying power. The most important part of that bill, which I strongly support, is indexing the minimum wage so that it steadily goes up every year. And I do think there's going to be bipartisan support to raise it. There's a bill in the Delaware General Assembly that would raise it to $11 an hour. And I think that's the kind of level that we could get broad bipartisan support to move towards quickly. Even the Sanders bill didn't raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour for four more years to 2025. I think some of the resistance in my caucus was to doing it right now in the middle of a pandemic. I'm committed to working to get a minimum wage bill passed, whether it happens in a bipartisan way or whether it happens later this year through a second reconciliation bill. We'll get that done this year.
Senator Chris Coons, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.